Welcome to Land Ho, a Sea of Thieves podcast. I'm your host, Michael, and with me, as always, is Brian. What's up, Brian?
How's it going, Michael? It's good to be back after missing last week. Sorry about that. I was a little under the weather, but here I am, ready to talk some Sea of Thieves.
Brian, it's great to have you back, bud. I really appreciate it. No worries, dude. You missed a great show last week.
I managed to catch a little bit of it.
No, it was fine. But last week I sort of touched a little bit on Skeleton Thrones. I didn't really go too much in depth because I wanted the conversation with Brian before we kind of talked about our thoughts. But I kind of just gave some general things that I thought at the time and setting people up if they maybe didn't jump in yet. We got some people who kind of reached out to us about it a little bit too, so that was cool. Kind of some good and bad stuff. But so let's first sort of discuss the developer update from June 20th last week, and kind of just talk about some of the content from that. I feel like it gave us a lot of really interesting information from that. If you weren't able to catch it, I think it was like a 7-minute video or something like that. A lot of really good tidbits from it. And then we're going to go into kind of what Brian and I thought of the Skeleton Throws live event and kind of what we look forward to this week as well. When we'll be getting our next live event. I'm not sure which day yet, unless I'm missing that information. But so let's start with the developer update, because there's a lot of really awesome stuff in it. And this is the first thing we want to talk about, is something that Brian and I have talked about a lot from the past Hunger and Deep update as well. Is that they recognize that they want to keep adding that social multi-crew content in the game, but they do acknowledge that players need better tools to be able to work together with other groups, which is something Brian and I have been advocating for. So we're glad that they actually were upfront about that feedback.
Yeah, it seems like they really want to keep pushing the multiplayer aspect of this game, trying to create something that wasn't really there at launch, or really until recently, until The Hungering Deep came out. I like that aspect of this, of the game, of their plan, trying to really push this and get people to work together on the seas. It's definitely hard right now to find other players, multiple reasons, the server capacity. If you have people who don't want to play PvP, then you're kind of out of luck and you have to server hop, or if there's not really that many people on when you get on. There's a lot of restrictions right now to the social aspect, but the fact that they keep pushing it, they keep implementing it into these live updates, it's really cool. And they definitely need to keep working on matchmaking for that. Maybe have a matchmaking server where you get on and you choose your ship, and then or you choose your crew size, and then you can choose if you want to go into a matchmaking server or something like that, where it's easier to find people. But yeah, we'll see what they end up coming up with. Hopefully it works. They make it easier for people to match up with other crews.
Yeah, I'm just really happy that they did acknowledge this, and I wasn't really, and same with you, I believe, is that we're not really advocating for removing that multi-crew stuff. I think it's really a unique thing in the game that sort of mechanic doesn't really exist in other games. However, they do need to give either better tools, as Brian was talking about, and what they talked about in the update, either better tools, better matchmaking, or just something that makes the game a little bit smart to try to matchmake groups who haven't done certain activities in the same server, or if they have to create some sort of indicators in the map, letting other players know. I know that's not really in the nature of this game, but just some type of mechanic. As well as, and I think we're going to kind of talk about this in a little bit, but an incentive to keep doing activities multiple times so that you don't run into the problem that Brian and I had, where a week after The Hungering Deep, it was really difficult for us to do it at that point. Either searching for crews or looking at Shark Bay Cove. So I think incentivizing players could be a good first step before they can either do smart matchmaking or some other types of tools and mechanics in the game. So I think it's really cool that they definitely brought that up, and we're excited to see that more of that multi-crew content, but we're only excited if they're going to give us more tools to do that instead of wasting hours just looking to even do the content, because that's not fun at all. Maybe could be, but sometimes, like, you know, a certain player, I think Brian and I kind of fit in that category where we don't really have like 4 or 5 hour play sessions typically and Sea of Thieves together.
Yeah, that was my thought too. We don't have, when we jump into the game, we want to get something done and be efficient about it. We don't really have the time to sail the seas and find people. So if they had some sort of option when you're loading into a server to set a preference, like I want to do Skeleton Thrones, or I want to do, I don't know, whatever the live event is that week, you have the option to select that, and then it can match make you into, or it can place you in a server with other people who also selected that preference. And then if you don't want to do that, you don't have to select a preference, and you can just go into any server that the game places you into. So like any sort of setting or something that can help people matchmake is definitely needed. And like the incentives that you talked about, that was mentioned in the video. They're gonna continue to carry over the in-game currency from these Build Rat adventures so that players have that sort of incentive to go in and do more and just stockpile as much currency as they can.
Right. And what was also mentioned, as Brian was saying in the video, is for the next live event that they're going to have more incentives to redo the content with different crews and different ways to get more doubloons is the new currency in the live events for the Build Rat adventures. So we'll go into what next week is in a little bit, but I think it's something they did acknowledge as well, is the replayability. And I think that's the first step to see if that improves the multi-crew functionality. And so going into sort of the cadence, they said it's going to be every 2 weeks, which is something we sort of knew already, but just an FYI, if you didn't know that, it's going to be every 2 weeks. There's going to be a new Build Rat adventure, which is what they're calling the live events. And as Brian mentioned, the currency is going to carry over from adventure to adventure. And so what did you think of the new currency that they introduced? Something they did say is that they made it clear, because there was definitely some people who just having like another currency adds that sort of mindset where it's going to be like a real paid, you know, microtransaction currency. And they made it known that this is not going to be a microtransaction currency at all. But what do you think of the currency overall?
I think
of the format?
It's good to have it in there for sure. Just something as part of live events that changes up the in-game system, the in-game economics. So you're not just hunting for gold, which you can get from doing like the main game factions, but then introducing a new thing on top of that kind of just changes it up, I guess. When you're doing live events, you want to go in and you can potentially just farm doubloons, or if you need gold, you can go in and farm the factions if you want. So it just changes it up a little bit. It gives you, I guess it's just to borrow the term that they keep using, just a new way to play the game. It's something that you're going to have to do the specific event for, which I think is a good path to start in order to keep players coming back to this game. Because if you're just searching for gold the whole time, I guess it's not really about the gold, but it's more about the activities that you do to get the gold or that you do to get this new currency. So I'm a fan of it.
I think it's interesting to like distinguish just the normal three voyages, right? When you get gold, and then when you do the Build Rat adventures, you get another currency. And what I think is kind of interesting about the currency as well is that there's like a separate faction in your menu, but it's also like a separate kind of vendor. And so I almost think of it like, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's basically there's like a whole outfit you can buy with that new currency, right?
Yeah, they have a Bone Crusher.
You can buy it. It's sort of like raid gear, right? Or like in Destiny, I guess. Or like when you do the raid, there's like a raid set, right? For this one, there's like a set that you can get if you keep doing the Build Rat adventures. You can complete that set, which I think is really cool. Plus, what we were asking for as well is the option to have, you know, to have special like rep rewards, so you can actually turn in that new currency as rep packages. So like if you want to level up gold hoarders, you can do that. You can use your currency instead of like one of the I don't know, the eye patch or whatever it is. You can get a reputation package, which I think is really cool, because that's something we want. Like we want different ways to earn rep and gold and stuff like that. So instead of the typical, the three normal factions over and over again. So it's a new way. It's literally, as you said, and as Rare always says, is it does give you a new way to play. And not only is it giving you a new way to play, but also gives you a new way to progress in the game while doing these sort of build rat adventures.
This is something that we talked about a lot, like a couple months ago when the game first came out, like, or when the live events were first announced, that we said they needed to include something or some sort of way that you can level up the level up your reputation towards pirate level through the live events. And this, I didn't know that they had added this feature in when I first jumped in to play the Skeleton Thrones. I had no idea that they had like these rep packages. When I saw that, I was pleasantly surprised, because that's basically what this game needs in order to take the grind off of Pirate Legend, which I don't think is really the focus of a lot of players anymore. It's just about having fun. But the fact that they have this now, even though it's not perfect at the moment, just shows that they're really caring about the player's experience and trying to make it as easy as possible without handing it to you. The ability to reach the quote-unquote end game, which obviously is unfinished, but I'm sure will be finished by the time a lot of people start to hit that level. So right now, the rep packages don't give you... Actually, I haven't bought one yet, but I don't think they give you a full level. I'm not sure how it scales right now, but in the developer update, they said they're gonna change it so that it will eventually give you a full level, no matter where you are. So you can go from level 25 to 26, or you can buy it and go from level 45 to 46. So it'll be the same across each level.
Yeah, I think that would be good. They did talk about that in the update, as you said, and just to elaborate a little bit, they said that they're still testing it, but they're hoping, regardless of level, you can buy a package and you can buy a level, which is interesting. I'm not sure like what the, I guess that's a good place to start. You know, it would kind of be a bummer if you like bought a package and like if you're at like 47, you kind of go up like a little tick. But going up a full level, I think is really nice. It kind of makes that journey to Pirate Legend a little bit more fun, enjoyable, and more rewarding. Like your time spent in the game, whether it's 2 hours or 5 hours, as well spent if you can kind of buy like a whole level. That's really cool, especially when you're doing like the build dry adventure sort of side content, live content. So, yeah, no, I mean, I think that's I hope we see the next adventure. They said that they're hoping for the next adventure, so. You know, it's kind of tough to say. When they launched the Skeleton Thrones, they were supposed to be, like, I think on that Tuesday, and then they said it was going to be on Wednesday, and then it ended up being Thursday. So they still kind of have these mishaps where they're missing deadlines. But, you know, they're able to come back, so we'll have to see if this is actually in the next adventure or not.
I'm kind of curious to see, once they do implement it, how it's going to work. Like, if the amount that you need to purchase the reputation packages is going to scale up per level. Because if each one gives you a full level, I don't think it'd be fair that to charge, I don't know, $10 doubloons for a package at level 25 and also 10 doubloons for a package at level 45. Because obviously going from 45 to 46 is a lot more reputation than going from 25 to 26. So I'm curious to see if they're going to scale it at all, like depending on your level, if it's going to go up in price or not.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, I guess like... if it was the same price, then you might as well try to save up your doubloons to save them. So when you get to like, you know, 35 or 40, then it's more worth it. But I could see that they scale the currency. Not really sure. I doubt it. I feel like they're just going to do like one level up. I feel like it's just easier to implement than like scaling the currency up. I don't know. I just feel like it's not really like a Sea of Thieves thing that they would do.
Yeah, but we'll have to see.
We will have to see.
But I do think the reputation packages alone provides enough incentive, especially if the doubloons carry over. Because if you do something once and get all the commendations, but you can still get money from it, that's like incentive. That's like enough on its own to just keep people right. coming back if they want to eventually hit Pirate Legend.
Right, exactly. No, I agree. I do like that it carries over, obviously. I think it'd be pretty crazy if it didn't.
Yeah.
But it's cool how it's like this separate faction in the sense of live content. So let's talk about what they kind of talked about for the next or what's going to be this week. Hopefully, it came out on a Thursday, so I'm not sure if it's going to be this Thursday or it's going to be on Tuesday. Maybe they said, and we just don't know, and I just don't know. But I I'm not sure. But they're gonna come out with what they say Gunpowder Skeleton Adventures. So skeletons that carry powder kegs. I don't think I really know more than that, but there's gonna be what I think is something again that a lot of including the community, including us, has talked about, which is new skeleton themed weapons. So like literally like gear weapons that are based off the enemies that you know kill and whatnot. Hopefully it's more than just weapons, but it's like skeleton like outfits and such. And again, as we said, that they're looking into replayability with legendary commendations, being able to get more doubloons by doing it. So hopefully like this replayability feature or sort of like incentive will make it a lot easier for players to always have people to play with. So we'll have to see how it goes for this one, but hopefully that solves that sort of problem that some people have at least reached out to us about too, which is, you know, getting other crews, because it is a huge bummer, right? When you, I mean, of course this content is free, but when it's like you want to do that new content and you have like a couple hours, you're like, all right, I want to do it, but then not being able to do it because you just spend the whole time waiting or looking for other crews, you know? So it's just like one of those things that isn't really helping players engage with the content. Especially when we're having trouble as a community, you know, growing the community, it makes it a lot more difficult when even normal players like us can't really play the content as much as we want. It's really dependent on other crews, and when it's way after the launch date, it less and less crews are doing the new content because everyone does it pretty much on the first day or two.
Yeah, it's just really tough when you have to rely on others to complete something, but then the way that you have to matchmake with them is like strictly in game. There's no like LFG for this. You can't go on Discord to match with other people to do this, since you physically need someone from another crew. So I don't know. I think this will help mitigate it for sure. Mitigate the issue of not being able to match with people, but I don't think it's like a hard fix necessarily. A hard fix would be like loading into a server strictly to find other people, I guess. So yeah, we'll have to see how exactly this works. I still think that you're just kind of depending that you're just hoping, I guess, that your server is full when you want to do something like this. So like you can see a ship pretty often, go find them, and hope that they come along with you. Because when we tried to do the Hungering Deep again, do the last fight, we loaded into a server, found like two other ships, but they both didn't want to help, and we were just kind of out of luck. So we'll have to see how exactly this ends up playing out. But it's definitely a first step. It's definitely a right step.
Totally. And it's still fairly early, right, in like the new content cycle for Sea of Thieves. Like we just had the Hungering Deep. Like 3-4 weeks ago. This just started almost 2 weeks ago. So we're still in that new sort of cycle for the live content. So it's always going to be getting better and better. And you know, it's great that, you know, the world's expanding more, and you know, it's really fun. It's just fun to jump in for when there's something new in the game. It just makes it a lot more special. So there was a couple little bug fixes I talked about that they are fixing. Skeleton gun accuracy for pistols and blunderbuss, which is obviously something that people have been complaining about for a while. You know, it's like at a point where like I'm really happy that that killing skeletons isn't like super easy, but at the same time, sometimes it's like a little bit unreasonable when it's like even when you're hiding pretty well, you know, they could still hit you and stuff. So, you know, it's definitely something people have been asking for.
Yeah, I've definitely been shot through rocks before. That's got to be fixed.
100%.
Like I'll jump behind a rock and mid shot or something, trying to dive out of the way, and I still get hit even though I'm behind the rock. Very annoying.
Yeah, I think it's something that, like, pretty much most, like, it's, like, a general consensus from the community that, like, that accuracy is a little bit ridiculous. Like, I don't want the content to be, like, easier, but it's a little bit ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like, difficult right now in terms of strategy. It's more just, like, trying to hack your way through a skeleton horde. But if you've got five skeletons with guns all shooting at you, it's going to be difficult.
And hopefully this will make, like, the Order of Souls missions a little bit easier for, like, a solo player as well. Because I know, like, and I've said this before, but, like, I feel like when you get to, like, level maybe, like, 15, 20, Order of Souls becomes, it almost becomes unmanageable depending on the skeleton types that you happen to get. So, as a solo player, so I think it's a great move. Hopefully that... that they're aiming for that to be out, I think, this week, actually. So we'll have to see in the new patch notes. Cool. I think that kind of, what do you think, kind of wraps it up for that developer update. A lot of info in it, though.
Yeah, short video, but a lot of great information. Again, just really, like, cool to be in the game right now, seeing the game evolve each week with the small changes that they add, and hopefully down the line, all these changes add up to make this game one that a lot of people want to jump into.
Totally, yeah. I agree. I think it's really exciting. And it's still really cool that they do these update videos every week. It's awesome. Like, not that many games really do that.
Yeah. Very few. Yeah.
It's crazy. So it makes that personal touch where you kind of feel like you're, you know, you kind of know the people working on the game. Like, you know, a lot of people, most consumers, right, like when they're playing a game, they kind of just play the game and don't really know what goes into it or like who's making the actual game. But it's really cool that, like, in Sea of Thieves, you kind of have that community feel, and you sort of like feel like you know the developers and stuff, and you know who's what it's taking to make this game and keep it going. So I think it's really cool as a player to engage with that, and they like it just as much to engage with the community, because on their side they want to engage as much with the people who are actually playing the game that they work so hard to do.
Yeah, it just helps create that truly like communal feel, I guess. It's truly a community. They care about us. They care what we think, obviously, because we're the ones supporting the game, and without the players, there's not really a game, or that there's nothing to really update the game for. But yeah, it just shows that they truly care, and I really like that about Rare so far in this game.
Mm-hmm. Cool. That's all right. Great. So now to summarize and kind of recap what we think of the first Buildrat live event after Hungry and Deep, the Skeleton Thrones. So just really quickly, if you don't know like what that is, or like you haven't done it yet, I think you have maybe, I don't know, by the time this comes out, maybe a day left. But you know, it's essentially, or if you don't really care, it's I think there's 20 thrones that you're supposed to find, and there's 20 hints, sort of riddles, and they're also in sometimes hard to reach places, so you can kind of like have to cannon up to some of the thrones, and you have to find them essentially and sit on them. And once you sit on them, you get doubloons, which is the currency, and you get that reward. And there's 10, I think, or 12 to solve. And then half of them you have to do with the second crew. You have to sit on it at the same time as another crew. So what was your... jumping in, you know, talking to Duke and then looking at your sort of combinations, like, what did you think of the overall, like, setup and delivery of the live event?
Well, a couple things on this. I like the idea of this live event, placing these thrones throughout the world and making the players go and find them. I think is a really great way to get everyone to explore the islands, because that was definitely a concern or an issue a couple weeks ago, I guess, throughout, that the islands felt very like empty. There was no reason to go around and look for things on the islands, no reason to explore really. And now that they add these thrones in, it gives you a reason to explore the islands and go around and find maybe caves that you didn't know existed. Just run around the island. Again, it's like a new way to play. The execution, though, was a little... I don't want to say sloppy, but I thought it was a little tough going off of the one-line riddles that they gave to find exactly what you needed to find, like, the island that you needed to go to, even though in the names of the clues they give you, like, hints of what island it's on. But, for instance, there's one throne, and the clue has to do with something... it's like find the throne beneath the waves. And so immediately I thought of the island that you have to go to in the Hungering Deep quest. You have to like dive underwater, find this cave that leads you like into the island. And in that cave, there was a journal from Merrick, one of his journal entries. And so I immediately thought that this is where the throne would be. So we spent, like, I don't know, like a half hour finding the island again, finding where we needed to go, going into that cave, and there was nothing in there. And I was really confused because that's the only underwater cave that I know of in this game. And it turns out that it was a different island that we had to sail to. But the main gripe I had with this is that it's not clear where you need to go. There could be multiple underwater caves that you need to look at. But if you don't know that they're there, it's going to be impossible to find. So I like the idea of the event, and I've had fun so far doing it, but I think it could have been a little bit easier, laid out a little easier, and made it so that players didn't have to waste that much time finding exactly where they needed to go.
Yeah, I agree with you on the most part. I think, like, yeah, I think like some of the hints are like easy. Like, there's definitely like a spectrum, but yeah, there, like, that one and the underwater one, I think was I really feel like these riddles, a few of them, like that one where it's like, it could, like, the riddle doesn't really be like, oh, it's that one place. Like, it feels like, oh, it could be like a couple different things. And it kind of, I feel like the game sort of forced you to, like, check out a few different places until you found the one, where, like, you think, like, a riddle, there'd only be like one obvious choice, right? Like, in this one, it was sort of like more explorative in the sense that there was a couple different, it gave you sort of a couple different locations it could be, rather than giving you that one clear, like, oh, like, that's the one, like, let's go. So it depends how you look at it. I think, like, in Sea of Thieves, right, like, you can't fast travel. So, you know, and that's part of the game, right? You sail to other islands and stuff. And so, like, in this game, right, it's really, really, and Skeletal Threats, it's really, really easy to eat up your time just sailing from one location to another until you find the right throne. And there was a couple ones that were sort of like that where you're like, oh, okay, it could be sort of maybe a couple different ones. And some of them were just, like, clearly one. So I'm not sure, like, if I liked that or not. I'm glad it wasn't, like, super simple. But at the same time, like, I wish the riddles kind of were hard, but at the same time where there's only one possible solution instead of, like, trying three different solutions or two different solutions. As well as, like, right, like, some locations, like, under the ridge, and maybe we were just overthinking it, but, like, you know, for players, right, I think for the players who play week in, week out, they sort of know where those, like, secret locations are, whereas, like, maybe casual players or, like, players who, like, don't play that much, or maybe new players were pretty lost in the sense that, like, they just had no idea because there's some that are, like, unmarked, I think. And then there's also, like, the players, right, who, like, don't really care and look up the guide on Reddit or something like that, which isn't really how I like to play it. But, you know, others are just, you know, just want to do that. And that's, you know, it's totally fine. But, you know, I think at least you have the guides, but at the same time, it's more fun to try it. And yeah, I mean, I think it was a good attempt. I think it was fun. It felt sort of like more lax than, like, let's say the Megalodon, where you're in a intense fight, as opposed to this one. It's like more explorative. I don't know why I keep messing up that word. More explorative, and it's sort of like at your leisurely pace, and there's no high pressure situations. It's more like sort of like fun and kind of just chill, I think, which I like the pace of, as opposed to, like, the Megalodon fight, which is fun, but at the same time, you need skilled players for that, on the most part, and, you know, resources and stuff. This one, you don't really have to worry about, like, all that stuff, which is cool.
Yeah, I like the vibe of this one, and I like that they're changing up the vibes. Like, one's obviously serious, another one's more relaxed. This one, you can just hop in and explore all the islands with your friends, but I think they could have made it a little bit easier, I guess, or more straightforward by making the clues maybe two or three lines instead of just one, because we spent, like, I don't know, half hour or whatever trying to find the island, then it was not the right island, and then we already wasted half or a third of the playtime that we've allotted for that given night just trying to find where we need to go. So I like that they're not making it super easy and not telling you, like, here's an X, go dig it up. But they could have made it, like, a little more straightforward. Like, I thought the Merrick quest was straightforward, but also had, like, some riddles that you had to figure out. But it wasn't like, you're going to jump in and then potentially waste a lot of time and have nothing to show for it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think there's a good, right, like I said, like a good first step. And I really do like that pace of relaxed, chill, exploitative, kind of hanging out sort of vibe doing these. So I think I would encourage like more of that sort of stuff. I'm getting the sense that obviously next week it's going to be more combat based, which is going to be really fun. So I think like changing the pace up week in, week out would be good. But the explorative stuff, because, you know, originally, like, there wasn't really much reason to explore islands. You know, at first we were like, oh, shit, like, oh, like, there's, like, caves and stuff. Like, that's really tight. Like, I'm sure there's some secrets. But, like, really there weren't. So, you know, I think those explorative things are really cool. And, you know, I'm really liking the direction. Was Skeleton Thrones, like, going to bring players back in? I don't think so. But it's nice. It's a nod to, like, the players who are playing still and giving them something, like, just sort of lax fun to do, you know?
Yeah. And so, I mean, I think it's really creative what they've done with these. They haven't just, like, placed them, like, on, like, the shore and you just walk up and sit down. You have to actually go, like, find it. Like, some of them you have to launch yourself from a cannon. And in that process, you might miss the first couple times. So you really have to, like, fine-tune every part of that. And once you get up there, it's kind of satisfying to know that you landed at the top of this like tower from the sea, things like that. It's creative. It's like creative use of the player's time. Whereas the other in-game events haven't been creative necessarily up to this point, but it's definitely a step in the right direction for sure. I like where they're going with these.
Totally. And so this week, hopefully we're going to get that new live event, Gunpowder Skeletons, which I love just killing skeletons. It's so satisfying for some reason. It's just my favorite thing to do in this game right now. So I'm really looking forward to like what that is. Hopefully it launches on Tuesday. We'll have to see. I'm guessing Thursday, but, hopefully they get back in that Tuesday rhythm. And, next month we are getting, Cursed Sails. So that's going to be, it's going to be awesome. Another thing to look forward to. And then September we got Forsaken Shores, but right now we're looking forward to July. I'm guessing it's going to be the latter part of July, but that's going to be real. I think that's going to be really cool. I'm really excited, to really just play the heck out of that.
Yeah, me too.
I don't even know what it is yet.
But. Yeah, probably end of July. But it's cool that there's like so much going on right now in Sea of Thieves. They just keep releasing new things. There's always something to do, which was obviously the main gripe in the first month this game came out, but they've gotten to a nice rhythm so far.
Yeah, no additional cost. I mean, I think the game might still be on sale if you're trying to convince new friends to jump in. You're getting that free content, those free updates after you buy the game. So I think it's a really solid investment still. I don't know why we're trying to sell the game, but it's really fun. I'm, hopefully get some more people to play. I think that kind of wraps up the convo. Didn't want to drag it on too long, but what do you think, Brian? What are you looking forward to?
I'm kind of curious to see what this whole Gunpowder Skeleton adventure is actually like. If it's just skeletons that pop up with gunpowder barrels, if they can like launch them at you and then have another skeleton shoot it. Or you just have to, like, shoot the barrel and blow up a whole horde of skeletons at once. Seems like there's a lot of possibilities for this. I'm curious to see how they implement it.
I'm down for some new skeleton combat, man. I'm so excited. It's going to be so fun jumping in for that. So I think that's going to wrap it up. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. If you have any ideas for us or something you want us to talk about, let us know on Twitter at LandoPod. You can email us at LandoPod@gmail.com as always. If you like the show, don't want to miss an episode, subscribe, rate, follow, do what you must. Thank you so much for listening and have a wonderful week.